This is TWiT.
Benchmark is well known for its super high-quality DACs, digital-to-analog converters, which are used all over the world in professional settings. I've used them. A lot of people I know have used them. They're just fantastic. They're the benchmark. The company made its name very well because they are, in fact, the benchmark for DACs. And I believe this is their first power amplifier. Is that correct?
I think it's the first commercially available one. I think they may have made something for professional use maybe 10 years ago. But the attraction, the reason we got together, quite apart from the fact my colleague at THX lives quite close to Benchmark's factory, which is in Syracuse, we spoke to them, and it seemed like it was a good fit. They knew a lot about DACs, and they were absolutely fanatical about making their equipment work as perfectly as they could, and we toyed with the idea of sharing our technology with them so that they could make an amplifier that would get the best out of their DAC. When we came up with the name Achromatic, what we meant was that whatever came out of the DAC, the amplifier wasn't going to be in the way. It would simply make it louder. It wouldn't add any audible noise or any audible distortion. That was the plan.
Yeah. And so it seems to have succeeded. You have the amp there. We can turn a camera onto it and take a look at the actual product. It's pretty small. It's what, half rack space, half rack width?
This across here is exactly half rack width. So that's half of the 17 inches between the spaces, and the heat sinks on there are maybe an inch and a quarter of size, but it's not really heavy either. I mean, I haven't tried this, but you can definitely lift it up extremely easily.
And yeah, I hear it. I read a spec somewhere that it was only like 12 and a half pounds.
Yeah, yes, it is very small and very light. You can switch it on and you can leave it on for hours, and it barely gets you know it's not exactly at room temperature, but maybe it's 7 or 8 degrees higher. Runs extremely cool.
Yeah.
And it will deliver 100 watts into 8, 200 into, 180 into 4, and it'll give a maximum output as a monoblock of about 340 watts or something like that.
380, I read in one review.
When we do the specs on these things, a lot of people increase the power output capability of their amplifier by going up the distortion curve. This amp will stay within a fraction of its 1 watt output distortion, right up to within under 1 dB of full output. The distortion barely changes with level. Furthermore, it barely changes with the load either. You can work in 8 or 4. Typically, amplifiers exhibit much higher distortion than 4 ohms. This one is barely changes.
Well, it's really remarkable that it can be bridged. It has a switch on the back to bridge to mono, so you can use it as a monoblock or use it as a stereo amp, two-channel amp. And I believe you said it will drive all the way down to 2-ohm loads. Is that correct?
The peak current capability of the amplifier is 18 amps. So you have the rail, it will be 40 into 8 ohms. It may drop a little bit into 4 ohms. So 18 amps peak is typically what it will do. You can burst it, and it will give more than that, but then the distortion will go up, so you're really running it too hard. We designed it so that it would work with audiophile speakers, which are notorious for having impedances that vary all over the shop. They're often quite low, low impedances. So we wanted to make sure that this wouldn't misbehave into any of those loads.
Magpie in the chat room is saying the main move for power amps is to displace the heavy, expensive power hot transformer with a switching mode power supply, less heat, far wider range of input voltage. Exactly what you were saying before.
Yes, it all makes perfectly good sense.
Yeah. Lawn Dog asks, is this an amplifier that can work with the RCA pre-out jacks on say, an AV receiver or a pre-pro? And this is another interesting thing about this particular amp is its inputs.
Yes, well, the inputs on this are XLRs, and you can put RCAs in through adapters. But the other thing on the back panel, can we... if I turn it around, then maybe you can zoom in on this.
Yep, okay. There you go.
So you see the panel there. You'll see we've got a couple of switches on the back there. One of them allows you to adjust the input gain of the system so that you can match it with either studio equipment, or you can match it with the much lower output that comes out of a player and so forth.
Right, of course, because
you see the sensitivity. You can see the thing. It's in volts or dBu. You can see that. So you could say one was what you might call home hi-fi levels, and the other would be for studio work, because a lot of these amplifiers are going to be used in studios along with their DACs. That was really the idea. The speaker terminals, there are two types. There are the regular 4mm binding bows that you see here, which we're all used to, and then we have below those the professional speak-on connectors. You'll see these three sockets here. You can either have left or right, or you can use the middle one for getting a bridge output when you put the thing into bridge mode.
So those are line outputs.
No, they're speak-ons. They're the professional.
Professional. Got it.
Benchmark like to use them because they say that the wiping action of the contacts keeps them clean all the time, and the distortion's a little bit lower. The RCAs, of course, are much more useful for demonstrations and so forth. You can go in and out easily, and a lot of people like to use their existing cables. So you have the option. They both work.
The use of XLR jacks really indicates that what we're talking about are balanced audio signals.
Yes.
Can you just briefly explain the difference between balanced and unbalanced and why you would want to use balanced on this amp?
Well, balance is used primarily to get rid of earthing problems in studios where you have long cables running, and if you had the amplifier, say, behind your speaker at the end of the room, and you had your other equipment up at the front, you could use RCAs, but the danger is that you would pick up hum, and which you do. You can get rid of it, but it's much easier with balanced cables to get very low noise and make sure that no earthing currents are going to give you problems with hum.
Right, or what we say in the U.S., ground loops.
Yes, yeah.
And also induced electromagnetic interference, EMI, or radio frequency interference, RFI. Unbalanced cables like RCA-tipped cables will have that problem. XLR cables, balanced cables, will not have that problem, which is why they're used for microphones. XLR balanced cables are used for microphones because those cables often need to run very long distances.
Yes, so, and of course, they're much lower signal levels down them, too.
Also that, too. Exactly right.